Well, good morning, everybody. Nice to see all of you. Hope everything went well this week for everybody. You know, we've been seeing a lot of bad news in the news. You know, when I was working on this sermon, the only tragedy that came to mind recently was Dallas, you know, where the peaceful march, protest march, in Dallas, resulted in five officers being killed by a sniper. And then, so I thought that was it, you know, for this week. Now, then on Thursday night, there was the shooting at, or not the shooting, but the this 50-ton bus, you know, went through a crowd of people in France, Nice, France. It just plowed through them. It was a terrorist. And apparently he rented that truck just for that purpose. And they were celebrating Bastille Day, which is a national holiday for France. And he killed 84 people and probably injured about 200 or more, I don't know. So it was, and then Friday morning, that was Friday morning, then Friday evening, turn on the news again, and there's this news about Istanbul, Turkey, you know, where... not a terrorist thing, but the military has taken, or it's a military coup to take over Istanbul. And as you know, Turkey is an ally of the United States, so a lot of unrest, a lot of things happening in the world, and the world is sick, and it's getting worse and worse every day. And, you know, problems keep rising, and they're not being solved by our governments. As we know, our leaders. It seems that whether bad news, we hear bad news just about every day. I turn the TV set on every morning and turn the TV in and wait for it to come on, you know, almost instantly. And usually I have it already on the channel to give me the news. And I see some headline, you know, bad headline or something. Let's go to Isaiah 1. Isaiah 1. You see what God has to do about all this. Isaiah 1, first chapter. Isaiah 1, we'll read verses 4, 5, and 6. Says verse 4, "Alas, alas, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the anger, the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away backward." And verse 5, "Why should you be stricken again? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faints." In verse 6, "From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed or bound up or soothed with ointment." Now, you would think this, Isaiah was talking to Judah, actually, which was the message directed to Judah, but the way it was, God was talking also to Israel, but he used Israel interchangeably, talking to Judah and Israel here in these verses. But it was a message of the way they were, mainly directed to the leaders, the priests, and also the prophets. And God called Judah a sinful, sick nation, laden with iniquity or sin. And the sickness of the nation began at the head, which is at the leadership, and then down to the whole body, down to the soles of the feet. And these were the population. These were the people. The entire nation was headed down the path of sin and idolatry and would end in destruction. And you could almost say that this message was about our nation today. Everything fits. This whole nation is headed for destruction because of sin, because they've forsaken the Lord as well. And Isaiah lived long enough to see Israel taken into captivity by the Assyrians because they failed to repent. But Judah was also taken to captivity as you know, later on by the Babylonians, and they were captive for 70 years. They were allowed later to return to Israel and rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. Now, modern Israel, which is Britain and the United States, are prophesied to be taken into captivity at the end time if they don't repent and turn back to God. Now, God always fulfills his promises, whether it be for blessings or for punishment. So this morning, I'll use a protest song written and released in 1965 entitled Eve of Destruction. It was sung by Barry McGuire, and it was released on that day, that same year. Now, this song is a protest song. There were many protest songs in the 60s. And you can go to YouTube and download the song after you. I'm not going to sing it. But it was a hit, number one hit in the charts in the U.S. and number three in the U.K. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read the lyrics. I'm going to read the lyrics, and then I'll make a few comments on some of them, some of the lines. So this is it, Eve of Destruction. The Eastern world, maybe if you pay attention, maybe you can figure out what he's trying to say. The Eastern world, it is exploding, violence flaring, bullets loading. You're old enough to kill, but not for voting. You don't believe in war, but what's that gun you're toting? And even the Jordan River has bodies floating. And the chorus says, but you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. And then the next line says, don't you understand what I'm trying to say? Can't you feel the fears I'm feeling today? If the button is pushed, there's no running away. There'll be no one to save with the world in a grave. Take a look around you, boy. It's bound to scare you, boy. And then the chorus again. And you tell me over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. And then it says, yeah, my blood's so mad, feels like coagulating. I'm sitting here just contemplating. I can't twist the truth, it knows no regulation. And marches alone can't bring integration. When human respect is disintegrating, this crazy world is just too frustrating. And the chorus again, but I'll skip it. And then the next one says, think of all the hate there is in Red China. Then take a look around to Selma, Alabama. You may leave here for 4 days in space, but when you return, it's the same old place. The pounding of the drums, the pride and disgrace. You can bury your dead, but don't leave a trace. Hate your next door neighbor, but don't forget to say grace. Okay, I'll explain a little here. The pounding of drums, the pride of disgrace, that was referring to Kennedy assassination, because it was a disgrace that he was killed by, in the United States by a citizen, no less. And then the last chorus says, and you tell me over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. No, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. So those are the lyrics. Now, the line that says, well, I think I was skipping all a little bit. Mm-hmm. What I wanted to do with all this is I want to show you the things that were happening back 51 years ago. And these problems haven't been solved by man's governments, and are getting worse. The words in the song are relevant today. The failed governments of this world are leading men to destruction because they have rejected God. So the title of his message is Why Christ Must Return. And as I said, I read the lyrics. The first line refers to the Vietnam War. If you got that, it says, the Eastern world is exploding. Violence flaring, bullets loading. That's the Vietnam War. But then it says, you're old enough to kill, but not for voting. What this means is it represents the hypocrisy of the government, within the government, that saying that 18-year-olds could go and fight and get killed, but they couldn't vote. That was changed in 1971. The voting age went to 18. The drinking age was 21 as well, but they never changed. I stayed at 21. But that was 18-year-olds were being drafted and sent to Vietnam. I know I was an 18-year-old at the time. But I didn't wait to be drafted. I joined. So I turned 18 in April, and I had to go register with the Selective Service that was back then. And then I graduated in May. And June the 6th, I was in the Army. So didn't want to wait to get drafted and sent somewhere where I didn't want to go. So that's the way it was back then. I mean, I think Mr. Franks gave his, in a sermon, he told about his story about that time when, well, he was in the church already, so he couldn't go to, he couldn't join. But he registered all right, and then I think it was you get a classification when you register whether you're qualified to join the Army or not. And he wasn't, because his was I forgot what they called it, but it was because of religion, and so he didn't go. So the line that says even the Jordan River has but its flow and refers to the war over water resources between Israel and their Arab neighbor, and it shows how quarreling over petty things leads to death and destruction. And the chorus repeated several times in the song, you don't believe, you tell me over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. That emphasized how all the chaos was causing our demise, but people didn't think it was serious enough. And the lines, if the button is pushed, there's no running away. There'll be no one to save with the world in a grave. Of course, refers to the atomic bombs, and which had the capability of, refers to in 1965, it had gone past the atomic bomb. The H-bomb had been developed in 1952. So there was more potential to destroy the world. But what it means here is, if these bombs were ever used, if the button was ever pushed, nobody would be safe, and the world would be in a grave. And, you know, this was 1965, so, like, as I said, the atomic bomb and the H-bomb had been developed already. Now, in 1945, we know that the atomic bomb, or the atom bomb, destroyed Hiroshima and Nagasaki, Japan, to end the war with Japan. And these two cities were wiped out completely. And many things, it was ugly, an ugly thing. And now, 20 years later, when this song came out, of course, they were more powerful. But today, more powerful nuclear bombs can destroy the whole world many times over. I read that 9 nations possess nuclear capability or nuclear weapons, and they possess, between the 9 nations, they possess 16,000 to 20,000 weapons. So as you know, we can destroy the world many times over. These nations are the U.S., of course, and Russia, the U.K., France, China, India, Pakistan, Israel, North Korea, and Iran is trying to develop their own right now. So, as I said, the lines, bury dead, don't leave it. Well, I'll skip that. The lines, you can bury your dead, but don't leave a trace. Hate your next door neighbor, but don't forget to say grace. This refers to the hypocrisy of the nation, of course, and God takes note of this type of religiosity, and he called Israel a hypocritical nation. And Jesus called the Pharisees hypocrites, and this nation is no better today. So as the nation and the world continue to get worse and worse, we see the only hope for this world is the return of Christ. Now, God has given man the chance to govern himself. He's given plenty of chance, 6,000 years. But man has failed to bring lasting peace and prosperity through their governments. And God says, the way to peace they know not. So the whole history of man's government is represented in the image Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream and represents the 6,000 years from Nebuchadnezzar to the present and just before Christ returns. And we know Christ hits the image and destroys this whole system that is in, that will be in place. Let's go to Matthew 24. That's our last scripture. Matthew 24. Hope I'm not taking too much time. But we're almost there. Matthew 24, we'll read verses 21 and 22. For then there will be great tribulation such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. Verse 22, and unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. We can see the this line. We can see that it refers to really us, what's coming. Now, the nations, Jesus was telling the disciples about the last time, the last days, nations rising against nations, famines, earthquakes, pestilence occurring, and these were all beginning of sorrows. And then the disciples asked him, when will these things be and what will be the sign of your coming? He tells them about a time of trouble, which was the great tribulation. And then in verse 22, he tells them, and unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved alive. Now this, we see the line of the song that says, if the button is pushed, there's no running away. There will be no one to save with the world in the grave. So we can see a comparison there, a similarity. But for the elect's sake, God shortens the time and he steps in. Christ returns and saves the world from destruction. So I hope that the song gave you a feel of how it was 51 years ago when I was 18 years old. Boy, that was a long time. Well, this world's getting worse and worse, and we are on the eve of destruction, but a lot closer than it was 51 years ago. So this is why Christ must return.